quickly, one of the big trends is not to have handouts. So I would like to thank you all for having handouts for me. In fact, another speaker said I would have handout, but I was told we couldn't have it. So I twisted people's arms.
Just tell them their handouts are in their folder.
They're in your folder. They're on the left-hand side of your folder. And I really would like to thank you because for 45 minutes, I could show you lots and lots of PowerPoint slides, but my very favorite PowerPoint presentation, if you haven't seen it, is the man who, as a joke, was going to commit suicide on a PowerPoint. And so he brought it up. He said, here I am getting really depressed. And so I just moved past PowerPoint and some other things and decided that I would cut the handout down. And thank you for that very much. The genesis of my interest in trends really began in 1996 when I started to work for LAMA, ALA's LAMA, created a workshop called Staffing Issues for the Year 2000, and this was in 1996. And of course, what was the single greatest issue we had, not a trend, but an issue, what was the single greatest issue that we had in 1996 regarding the turn of the century, which actually is in the year 2001, but I digress. So what was the greatest issue? Do you remember?
Y2K.
Y2K, exactly. And that will illustrate for you the way issues happen in terms of its enormous amount of attention to it. And the only thing I've seen Y2K is that there is a nail store in Austin where you can get nails done, and it's called Y2K Nails. And I think they had that sign done so that they would be cutting edge, you know, in the mid-90s, and they just haven't been able to afford a new sign. So one of the things I started to do was try to corral trends so that I could narrow them down to trending issues for staff and then move from there. And it was very difficult for me because librarians don't do a lot of forecasting in terms of the very scientific data gathering forecasting, the actuarial approach to forecasting. We really don't, which is fine. But I really had to set aside a systematic approach to gathering information that was very broadly gathered. Now, librarianship has been greatly interested in identifying trends in terms of technology, and you really can't beat what LIDA does in terms of technology trends, and I've got that URL on the handout. They're extraordinary about that. But just trends in general was something that we had some people pulling together, but not so that I could narrow that down. And I will use lots of words that used to serve to irritate me, like drill down, you know. But I really did have to find a system, so I'll talk a little bit about that when I go forward. And I do want to initially apologize for throwing out a series of words that, as I mentioned before, really served to irritate me. We had a summit, a technology summit, that president prior to my presidency, Pam Snelson, called together. And this was a summit of higher education groups where we talked about, and vendors too. Elsevier was there, and of course they laugh about that people call them the evil Elsevier, which I think is ridiculous. They've been so incredibly supportive of what we do in so many environments. So we had Elsevier, we had Blackboard, we had some leading academics, we had several other leading people in terms of content. We had some leading web environment individuals who were hosting websites that at the time were very heavily used and kind of morphing from one website to another. So we sat in a room and started to talk for 2 days. And yeah, I answered, I listened to the content, but what I started doing was keeping a track of all of those sayings that I had not heard that kind of caught my interest, because they were thrown out there. It's a very marketing kind of trendy profit approach. And I began to keep track of all those words. And so I'm going to use a series of those today as I move through this. Back to 1996, that is the future. When I worked with LAMA on the workshop, I really thought it was not going to be necessary for me to come up with a process for corralling the information, but in fact I had to, and I have copied that process for you, kind of kept codified it, as it were, starting on page 3, where I began to gather, and at that time the key words were future, for the most part, turn of the century, and 21st century really came more toward the end, and that was a higher-end one in terms of people using that. So I literally had to come up with a process where I took a series of words, searched them in a number of different ways, designed a couple of search protocols that were necessary for me at that time, with quotes, without quotes. You know, there was a lot of lack of intuitiveness in terms of some web search engines. And then I began to list, and we didn't have Delicious then, so I would put together a series of favorites that really identified websites I wanted to return to. And that's the bulleted list that you see in the middle of the page, websites devoted to trends, which is different than websites focusing on the future, websites with content on strategic planning, since that clearly was a trend issue. At the time that we started doing this, there was a huge approach and a huge attention to technology columns, so that most of the 21st century columns in the mid-90s were this is new, this is new, this is new, where they would identify bits of technology, which at the time we called technology appliances. There weren't social networks at that time. There weren't social tools like we see them at all. I took general articles on the future, and then as we got closer and closer to 2001, 21st century materials in general, and then the word forthcoming became of interest. Now, I'll just flip very quickly to the words I use. I use not trend, but trending, which is perfectly acceptable. Emerging and emergent are two that are huge, and they literally bring two sets of things, since emergent became very big in science in terms of emergent brain research, so emergent was big. Now we have all kinds of emergent. Metatrends, which quickly replaced trends. So it's trending, not trends, and metatrends, that's acceptable. 21st century is still there. And horizon-oriented things, and specifically scanning horizon, or horizon scan, which for some people is actually a process. I'm sorry, this is there. Is this irritating for the students? Probably ruined all the settings. There are a number of books, I would say probably 60 or 70, that talk about trends in the future. One of the ones that I both hate and love is Future Files, The Five Trends That Will Shape the Next 50 Years. And he, with some apology, comes up with 200 trends, which is way too many. Then says, well, there are this many categories, and I'm going to pick five trends per each. And then he comes up with 55. Then he comes up with five. And then he has five things that won't change. What I disliked about the timeline was the visual picture, which for many people, and currently next gen groups, only scan two or three pages, is what so much of the Google Gen kind of discussion is. So they look at the visual, which is the timeline that goes from about 2005 to about 2025, which of course I have absolutely no clue what I'll be doing in 2025, but as I always tell Alan, my hair is going to be exactly the same color. So when I look at Future Files, the irritation point for me, although the content was great, and it got a little bit of press, is that in the year 2010-12, he has libraries on the extinction list. But when you read it, you do understand that it's not libraries in general. It was the library that we've been used to for the past 20 years, which has some truth to it and doesn't have truth to it. So it's a very interesting thing, and I hope that when you recommend it or when you use it, that you move beyond the visuals. There are two basic ones: the next 25 years, and then extinction list as well. And people will move beyond that to get to some of the content that he's got. I found this easier to use, and actually kind of a subset of Friedman's work, World is Flat 1, World is Flat 2, and several other things that Friedman's come out with. That being said, the major issues for trending for me, and I outlined the process for you beginning on page 4, that this was an attempt to identify and separate out a trend from a fad, to identify trends that I felt had a significance that would be less difficult for me to justify for funding, or for on the back end, setting up assessment or working with some element of accountability. Because in order for me to spend money on trends, I need to be relatively sure, not just of, let's do it, it's cutting edge, it's different, but I need to take a look at, is it, am I going to be able to justify the expenditure of it? It does not have to be successful at the end in order for me to have used it successfully, but I need to have some amount of measurement to be able to apply this to. So what we see kind of disappearing from the trending world is baseline data, because I love baseline data and I've sought it for years, but with trends, if the whole idea of a trend is to move beyond what you're doing, it's very difficult sometimes to either find specific baseline data or match that up. So I try to build into my trend process the whole approach for identifying assessment in advance, yet realizing fully that it may not have that standard measure of accountability and assessment that we tend to have when we're spending money and when we need to be accessible. The Kindle is a perfect example of that, because of course 6 years ago or 7 years ago, ebooks were huge and everyone was, let's go get an ebook, and now they really disappeared, and then we came back with the Kindle and then a competitive Kindle, and those have so far a success. So it's been interesting to me to see something that totally doesn't work and something that ultimately will, because of a few elements of it, but also because of the marketing of it. So again, picking assessment for me for trends was always a challenge. The library world somewhat embraced trends. Of course, we've had a journal for years called Library Trends, and I like the journal because Library Trends separates out its content by functional areas or by roles and responsibilities. So when you go to the website that I link there and then it links you to the table of contents list, you will see trends in collection development as well, which is sort of a responsibility rather than a function, so to speak, but it definitely divides up and provides a couple of different ways to go into trends and trending. So we certainly have had trends for a long time. A lot of the standard journals began to add those technology columns in pre-2001, and we too, though, have morphed into trends only covering technology and access to technology. So many trend lists that you get are very well services, but they're services that are technology based or access trends. So they all revolve around that in some way. We really don't have management structure trends or organizational development trends, although we do see some of that discussed because of the impact that technology has had on what we do. So it's not unusual that we focus on trends in that way, but it certainly is a different approach to the big picture of trends, which is what I've tried to capture for a long time. If you turn to page 6, I still find, which this is not true in other professions, I still find conferences being more cutting edge than a lot of other environments, and I just want to point out that this goes beyond library conferences. I still consider the most cutting edge conference being EDUCAUSE, although computers and libraries still are, yet even the name computers and libraries is sort of antiquated as a conference. So I really have found both EDUCAUSE and the journal that they put out to be the single best predictor of trends and the future as we move through things. But I still think that conferences are one of the key things. And of course, you look at that in juxtaposition with shrinking staff development funds. And so we're very pleased that what technology has offered us in this case is a huge archiving of conference content. And so more and more people can experience conferences because of that approach. So I'm going to leave that at the top of the list for what I'm going to do. There are a couple of other resources here that I really have pushed for in terms of trends in the profession, and I've divided them into categories. At the top of page 6, you find library trends, libraries, and in the profession in general. And again, I step outside the profession in order just to provide that structure for us. And then I feel very strongly that after we look at our own field, and for deans and directors, I would even say, don't even start with librarianship. What you really need to be keeping up on are the trends that come from the bottom of page 6, which is really that umbrella entity trend, the higher education trend, which obviously is EDUCAUSE. But it's a number of other things. The distance learning organization website has an incredible amount of data that they are collecting. And these data are very much, or the data are very much broadly assessed, because they not only look at distance learning, but what brings people to distance learning, or the infrastructure for distance learning. So although keeping up with the trends in our profession is critical as a dean, in terms of what I need to know, I'm going to go first toward trends in higher education. And the number of items I put here, and I went ahead and included Eric Krivshietz, even though I find Eric to be less timely than they used to be in the past. There are a couple of other things. The specific Eric Clearinghouse on higher education does, in fact, have a good up-to-date approach. And I'm even going to step aside and say, as a dean, I would say that, yeah, I'm still looking at librarianship, but after my umbrella entity, I'm really am going to look at the trending information that comes from general societal trends. And that's what begins on page 7. And the good news about this is societal trends are now presented in the context of technology and of learning and of higher education, some of the worlds that we work with, because so much is happening in our field. And that's an exciting way to use Meristat, which does have its own trend section now, which is very good. CensusScope has a very nice trend section that obviously is going to back you up with content from census data that was created and archived much more quickly than it has been in the past. The General Societal Survey is fascinating because it includes attitudes. And trending attitudes other than sort of person on the street kinds of data collection is an interesting way to do it. And I'm very much aware, as you should be as well, that gathering attitudes solely from web-delivered assessment is in and of itself incorrect, because not everyone uses the web, not everyone's on the web, not everyone uses the web in the same way, and so you will absolutely get attitudes from people who use the web in that way, but you will not get some attitudes that we need in higher education from those people who don't, and God help us, faculty, pastor faculty, are among those categories. So, and I'm just speaking about my own organization, not those in your area. Very true. Social indicators for me has been an older one, but part of what I do to determine trends is compare current trends with classic trends. And so that particular content has been fascinating for me to see. In fact, one of the ways I prepare for talks like this is to take my handout from 1996 and begin to compare it with the data from today. And from the ACRL website, from the past president's page, is linked a one-page table with tiny, tiny type, and I forgive you. Please forgive me for 0.10 or 0.9 type, but this has been a three-column table, which I have tried to maintain as much as I possibly can. And this is a one visual at a glance look at our keywords for what we do in the context of higher education. So the column on the left is higher ed, and then the two on the middle and on the right have become that. And just go to ACRL's website and you'll find that link from my page. And it's got a lot of social indicator content. The polling report is probably a better general look at trends. And but I will tell you that think about this now. The polling report asks questions about what's already here. So when you think of gathering data on trends, if it's already here, how much of a trend is it? So they're going to, nowadays, they're not going to say in a polling report, what do you think about the Kindle? They're going to say, how do you read materials, or how best do you read materials? So we have to separate out in the polling report things that they're asking people about for what is currently here and what is that horizon attitude. In fact, now we see the horizon documents, some of which are from OCLC, which are critical documents. They even have a schematic for that. I've been very interested in, on page 8, speeches, obviously, that people give, and that goes partially back to conference presentations. However, I call conference presentations, and speeches those things that we would find from outside the field, those people who are giving general speeches in terms of conference presentations. The we have about 3 general research entities, and if you've gone a week without getting a primary research email as a blind email, I'd be surprised. I don't know how many of you aren't getting those. I certainly am. And this is a company who gathers data in an interesting way. And of course, a couple of other people have jumped into gathering research on the future. And it is, which is a kind of an odd sentence, but ACRL has. We're going to be putting out a series of research content pieces. So we have a number of people putting those out, which of course, in my institution, carry great weight for accountability if the content catches up to what I need as quickly. I find that strategic plans of other organizations, so benchmark strategic plans, and my joke is used to call it plagiarism, now we call it benchmarking. So we very much use strategic plans because strategic plans should have that look ahead and that horizon approach that moves you into anything toward 5 years or slightly before 5 years. So we very much use strategic plans as well. RSS feeds, I put on the list, but I put them at the bottom of the list because RSS feeds are clearly a way to keep up, but then once you get, you carefully have to subscribe. You certainly vet the site prior to that with some of the things that we've had from the beginning of the document, which deal with those information literacy issues, credibility, credentials, focus, currency of site, contemporary nature of data that's used in the report. So certainly as I go through the 800 academic blogs that are currently out there, looking at choosing between a blog that is an opinion on WordPress, although there's some great stuff on WordPress, I'm thinking of one that I have in my bibliography, versus Stephen Abrams' content, the Lighthouse blog, I would go absolutely to the Lighthouse blog first. I would go to ACRL's blog with Stephen Bell, and then look at other blogs as opinions. So I separate my RSS feeds into 2 different categories in terms of the credentials of the person blogging. And of course, then you get into comment that occurs on blogs as well. So with an RSS feed, I always look at, is it the content of the person presenting and the comments, or is it a combination of the two? And then you go from there. I collect profiles of our constituents, which to me is the most helpful for me when I'm putting together content for marketing or looking at branding the library. And that list begins on page 8. So if you take a look at that, these are general constituent profiles from 1 to 11, with some embedded constituent profiles that go older and younger. So we have the general overall list with sublists for older and younger constituents. And these come, I pulled these from a couple of different places, the Da Vinci, obviously the Horizon Ithaca's report that came out in 2006, Google Gen content that comes from the UK, and I tend not to use a lot, although there's very rich content from the UK, I tend not to use a lot of that because it's UK and it's a different approach to some things. So I want to make sure that it's a seamless ability to include things in lists. So we have some very standard statement here. Number 1, profiles of constituents are changing. Well, yeah, they are. And although I will name, but not specifically here because I'm being podcast, right? I would name, there are 2 or 3 profiles that actually aren't changing at all, so in our constituent list. So, younger constituents today begin on page 10, and those are not just freshman experience, FYE kind of thing, we'll look beyond freshman experience to undergraduates, period. And there are a lot of trenders who separate out freshman, sophomore from junior, senior, and I really don't, because that's all over the map. So I do separate out researchers from what I would consider higher education non-researchers and research-based curriculum. And of course, in my business, I very much look at gen ed versus workforce trending, because the workforce trends are so an interesting part of education. It's not to say that if you're in a university, you don't have workforce. You absolutely do. Accounting, all of those things that some health sciences, accounting, writing, but definitely different. Older constituents on page 10 are, these are probably the most changing, because the target of older is so different now. In fact, in this book, the second greatest trend is aging and those things that surround aging. And so we really look at the older constituent trend as being the one that really morphs the most as we go. Not only does the population change, but retirees, and of course, my talk might have been different 6 months ago, because the prediction is that people who were retiring now won't be retiring for about 3 years, is what we're talking about, is that 3 years for most people is being added onto the standard retirement age because of the way the income issues have occurred. I created a trend chart, which I started probably about a year ago, and the chart has about 20 columns, and I pulled out those things that I wanted just to give you a flavor of what this was. And so I've included the Da Vinci Institute. Although the content I think is very sound on that website, it doesn't change as much, for example, as others do. Educause, I mentioned, classic, and of course they do their standard surveys and resources, but their website in general is incredibly updated. The Horizon Report, which now is annual, and I linked to 2006, but for a reason, and if you go look at it, you'll see why. That was sort of a foundation in terms of constituents. ALA LEDA, as I mentioned, I think is still among those classic, really successful trends, and trending pages, which is available for free. You don't have to be a LEDA member. What is critical about the LEDA technology links is that LEDA lists them all. So you're going to go 2001 up today. So you will, just at a glance, it's fascinating, be able to see how the terminology has changed and how the content is used moving from early turn of the century to now. Again, tech trends for librarians. I include Tame the Web because Tame the Web is broader than the web, because it does go into users, profiling, and services and resources, some of which would be the pure structure. But clearly, reference is changing. Now, reference is changing for many reasons, not just because of the insertion of technology. So when you look at reference and you see on Tame the Web trends on changing reference, some of it relates to technology and some of it absolutely doesn't. So I included things in the table, if you go down the left-hand side, that are standard trend areas, and obviously the first four are technology. But if you flip over to page 12, I've sorted these in terms of what people are really focusing on in terms of trends. The top of page 12, how trends are affecting our own personnel, our own human resources, collective groups, and I'll mention that again in a minute. Then change and the speed of change. I came up with a phrase that I use all the time now, which is, and I think I did, but you know how you come up with something, I'm so clever, and then you find out you know, as you were sleeping one night, they had it on TV, and, you know, all of a sudden it's not yours, but I think I'm okay on this, and this is the dog year change, that we really are at about a 7-to-1 level in terms of changing. When I first started out in this field, we had, when I first got, I wasn't early in the field, but I was early in higher education, I got to the college, and there was the high-speed microfilm catalog. How exciting was that? And of course, half of you were going, yeah, and the other half were going, what? Huh? You know, which is the cartoon character approach, but a high-speed microfilm catalog. And this, of course, was our OCLC dump into microfilm, and we had these little units, and oh my God, they were so cutting edge. And then we had SDC and Dialog searching behind the reference desk, because of course you couldn't trust anybody else to do that. So it was not disintermediated. You know, we spent our time searching and consulting people about search strategies, because that was the only way you got content, literally. And of course you could do a brief citation or a full citation. So I think that's when we all first started to scan. I can't get the full article, but I can get two paragraphs, so I know everything it said. So I believe we started then, and I think we were the bellwethers in that respect. But definitely the change, the timeline, speed, fast changing. I can remember the first couple of years we had the high-speed microfilm. And I say that with reverence because at the time, you know, it was so exciting. And then we would order InfoTrack. And that was, you know, also microfilm, thank you. And then we got the 5 1/4, you know, floppy, which was. And then we had the tray, one tray. And so we pull that out, we pop it in. And we could practice with it in advance. And then, of course, within about a year of me purchasing that product, and of course, let's keep in mind our acquisitions function is happening at the same glacier speed while we are, in fact, trying to get this new thing in. So we would get it in the mail, and all of a sudden there'd be 2 floppies. And so we'd have to put in 2 disks. And then the next 3 months later, I'd get in 6, and so then I had to put in a little stack. And then, of course, one day came the 3.5. Which was, it's just huge. I mean, look at all this can store. And it was hard, you know, and small. And so then we had to go to different drives. We had to go to our stack. We had to go to local area network. And so this is like Madam Butterfly in 5 seconds. I've just taken you through the last 20 years of us looking at content and going, now what am I supposed to do with this? So when we then moved to the web, of course, that went from 3 times a year to, at first, probably 6 times a year, because we would learn search strategies for information literacy on Friday, and we would then work with it on Monday. It was totally different because they'd either changed, because it was web delivered, they changed the interface, and we didn't, you know, I love these people over here. Very, I love this. It's great. I went to one state once where I did this talk, and everyone just sat there and stared at me for probably an hour, and I could, you know. Is this mic on? It's my mind. So, the tiramisu aside, we were, it was very much a different world, but it was that 7-to-1, that kind of dog year change. And of course, now weekly, maybe daily. And that's changed all my HR issues. It's changed how I hire people, it's changed how I evaluate people at the top of the list, how we orient, train, develop. People is just so extraordinarily different from the way it used to be before. So actually, if I had to pop anything to the first, I would put change and the speed of change probably at the top of the list. Funding, unfortunately, there's not a lot of trending information on that. Down yeah. is what we're looking at here. But definitely, if I had to insert my own opinion, it would be taking one sum of money and using it for something else, and then deciding what you won't offer. And of course, what do librarians not do? That is give up anything. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. We will offer simultaneous services because there's one person out there doing it. And, you know, one faculty member who's really irritated if we're going to do it. So we keep on doing it, and we keep on providing it for people because somebody out there wants it. And so I should put let it go there as part of the funding thing, but I'm equally guilty. Information access is a huge trend in terms of content, and we really used to look more at speed, and now we look at availability. So we've got speed, quality, and availability. And in fact, I was just talking to my friend Louise about authentication. You know, is it single sign-on? No. Is it local? Yes. Do you use Easy Proxy? You know, what do you do? And then, you know, do you have a photo ID? Do you have a unique number? You know, you can't use a social security number. So the whole issue of authentication and access for people is dramatically different than before. User-produced content would probably move to the top of the list as well if we're talking about constituents, with, of course, the keyword there being produced. User-produced is a major trend, as we know, and that just keeps getting dramatically different. And And we've gone, and in a minute I'll read some words off, but are you familiar with 23 things and 43 things? And then I now have a CogDog Roo site I found, which is 50 ways to think of a lost dog using social tools. And if I know, if you go into the web and you put in CogDog Roo, and that's just CogDogRoo, you go to a website that is based on a 23 things concept, which is a training concept that really isn't for us so much, although a lot of us need it. I need to go look at 43 things. And it is the 23 critical things we need to know about social tools. And again, social tools rather than social networking, social tools is now our umbrella term. And a group of people picked the 50 social tools that are available on the web, and they have juxtaposed two things. Now, 23 things is just let's learn about these things. 43 things is let's learn about these 43 things. 50 social tools is let's talk about one topic, a lost dog, 50 different ways. And so the dog's name is Domino, and he disappears in 50 different ways, and it's called web storytelling. And so it's a fabulous thing, and it's wonderful for info lit, and it's also wonderful, that's what I use when I justify my budget. You know, I have some quality, but I also use some accountability, some baseline data, but then I also use storytelling and how that works. You have to go look at CogDog Roo and see this dog disappear in 50 ways. There's a linear chart that, you know, you can do a timeline on the web, and you plug in things to the timeline, and then this visual image comes up. And so they did the lost dog on the timeline. And so I get the dog, that's here, you know, week two. I lose the dog, week three, I search for the dog, and they pull that timeline down, they have a little JPEG of the dog, and where is the dog? And then they're walking down the road with the dog, so the dog's in the picture, and then there's just the road. You know, it's great. Now, Domino is our dog, and he's usually found, but it's a fascinating approach to web storytelling. So that changes constantly, user-produced content. And one of the most fascinating trending terms that I have for this is citizen journalism. Now, citizen is a loaded word, so I don't like that phrase because we really don't use the word citizen much anymore, certainly in the Southwest, and so we're very politically aware of the loaded nature of citizen, but the phrase citizen journalism fascinates me because we're really talking about that 2.0, 3.0 interaction, and my favorite part is the phrase that we use for it's now on the website, but it originally started on the, I guess CNN or TNN, where it was the factoid, and you've seen factoids, and of course those fascinate me. Oh, look, a fact. And the definition of a factoid is like a fact, but not really a fact. So, you know, I was, oh, okay, so gee, I get it, and it's in colors. And it's at a fifth grade reading level, but it's probably not true. So that lends a whole other thing, which coincidentally is not similar from the definition of Wikipedia, but I digress. So security certainly is a major issue in terms of a trend, and that can go back up to both security of records and those issues that we have related to that, but also security of content, our own content. And I'm reminded of this incredible push for alumni and the fact that my contracts for my databases do not include alumni access for the most part. So now the vendors are coming back to us with alumni pricing models, which are sky high. But for my need, I now have to renegotiate those because alumni are critical to us. And so we have to really look at our infrastructure to see whether or not this new group of constituents can indeed be included. User privacy, we know. In fact, if you look at extinction on this list, and as I mentioned, the trends here are trends and then an extinction chart, privacy is on there. So on the extinction list. User skills, of course, is key, and that's where the 23, 43, and 50 things come in for teaching people skills. Library role and experience is considered a major trending area. Enterprise portals, which is part of the alumni issue. Organizational design, instructional design, obviously, is critical for us. Intellectual property rights, and it's fascinating to look at the extinction list and guess what else is on it? copyright. That's daunting to see that on there. Now, does this mean it's going to come true? No, but it does mean that we look at that, and we look at how copyright moves through us, how scholarly content is used and juxtaposed with open source and digital repositories, institutional repositories of research. And those are, that to me is the perfect storm, and we already see that in how we are designing access to some of the digital repository content. Facilities is an area that there's a little bit, there's more in the UK than there is here, and most of the trending information on facilities, two areas, InfoCommons, which of course we know, creating environments for user-produced content, and then green and sustainability, which you're having a speech on today, which I'm looking forward to as well. And then collaboration, and certainly the push that we have to collaborating with people outside our standard sphere or infrastructure in order to provide access and to broaden that content. I have 14 questions that I've identified that I use to take a look at a content piece or single sign-on. It can do a function or it can do Kindle. So you can actually take a look at a Kindle and say, is the trend source a credible one? You know, are the web reviews of Kindle, in fact, company-driven only or from people who are using them on planes? And that, of course, is a huge trend to me. If you're using it on a plane, then I'm fascinated by that because people are still reading print materials on planes. And they're also using, you know, minis and Acers and tiny things, because as planes get smaller, of course, our laptops need to as well. Because I'm not getting smaller, so I have to get smaller. So 14 questions, but they really apply to trends. Greatly narrows down what you might pick for a trend and using it for spending money. But answers to these questions provide an element of accountability for why you chose what you did. You know, why did I choose to take money out of my software development to buy Kindle subscription and hardware? You know, which I'm going to have to do from two accounts anyway because of where I have capital versus where I have operating money for hardware versus software. So once I've done that, and that of course funding is a huge issue in terms of our lines and where we buy things from, and we used to have such a clear reference, standing orders, you know, which were reference, and you know, so now of course that's all over the place. That's a mashup, as it were. The webliography, which I swore I would never use that word, forgive me, that and paradigm shift, which I use daily, and someone gave me a t-shirt, and if I wore t-shirts, I'd wear it today, and it said, you have changed for a paradigm. So I like that. Briefly, before I summarize with some contemporary words, 30 Mobile Trends in Libraries is an interesting content, and I picked things from 06 to date. So a Horizon Report I mentioned, DaVinci I mentioned, Future of Librarians is interesting, especially because of where it's from, DegreeTutor.com. This whole infrastructure of tutoring and online resources and Ask a Librarian and all of those things which provide us some 24/7 content and how they look back at us is interesting. The two next ones, I just wanted to point out one thing, are the same PDF. So the Google generation, the Future of Librarians, were links to two different sections of the report because one was excerpted in a web environment, and so we picked that up. It's really good, and I mentioned I don't use a lot of UK things when I look at trends, but definitely this content kind of surpasses where it's from. I mentioned Ithaca. Ithaca's got a really interesting look at stakeholders and target audiences. Knowing the mind of the user is very interesting as we move through looking at our constituents. The Library Success Best Practices Wiki is fascinating because the richness of this is not so much that people had this strict criterion of uses, and so that's how you made it in there, but it's an incredible list of locations that have things. So for example, if you go to this wiki and you're interested in Aqua browsers, and then you put in Aqua browser, then what will come up for you is the links to all the academic libraries or all the libraries that have Opera Browser for their front end. So it does provide you with a lot of examples, okay? And people did, in fact, do some vetting for content there, but I wouldn't say all of these are fabulous, because I use that for something like the ACRL Excellence in Libraries Award, where there's a standard application form, and then people apply, and there's two committees who look at it, and then they're awarded things based on standard criteria. But this is a fascinating list of things that people use. The Reading Report Card on Literacy, which spans federal and also has great implications for higher education. We just look at the first year experience in terms of different types of literacies, and we now look at 11 different types of literacy, data literacy, web literacy, all of those things. OCLC still remains a major, I think, a major deliverer of content. It's research-based. Pew does as well. I like sensible technology trends in libraries. That, to me, kind of is mutually exclusive. I really want to push some things on YouTube that come into two categories. Shift Happens is funny, but also very good in terms of content. And then I'm going to go down to TED. Some of these, the TED conference is that cutting edge, really out there conference, and some of them are delivered off YouTube, but I took you to the TED conference website instead, and I pointed out a few things that are particularly good. And I use these, we're doing a transforming thing in my library, and we started out by looking at some of these. One was the shopping cart, designing a shopping cart for users or constituents, the 5,000 Next Days on the Web. It's a fascinating conference to attend. Of course, I'll never get to attend because it's sort of an invitation only, but these videos help you really get the meat of the conference, and it gets you thinking. So it just is a discussion point. It's great. 10 Dangerous Ideas started out in the public library world, and I think it's interesting. There's a public library presentation before PLA, and then there's both public and academic content comment on 10 Dangerous Things. Think and Train the Unthinkable is similar to that. Experts on Our Increasingly Online Lives, of course, is an OCLC publication. I really push, as I said, OCLC research, since they've got such a rich data set. Forever they could do that. We've had a number of groups get together and posit the future. I like TIGA, which is the Associate Directors Group for Universities, and they have, interestingly, they created this list 2 years ago, and I think it is as relevant today as it was then. And then I did include the weblogs list, because this is that massive list of academic higher education weblogs that I think are fascinating, and it's too much information, really, to look at one time, which I know is, look by the look on your face, this is as well. certainly is for me. One last thing, when you look at future files and you look at trends, a trend of trending is to describe that trend in one word or fewer than three. So we really look at trends in as few words as possible. Conversation, convergence, and content are the three major trends here. Redefining jobs, I mentioned citizen journalism, openness, sharing, participation, experience with play, which is really what we see a lot with technology. When we look at the 23 or the 43, or you look at technology petting zoos that people are doing for their own staff. Adoption horizon is something that has come from not only OCLC, but a couple of other groups, and that adoption horizon of what's going to happen this year, the next two, and then fewer than 5 years is that three level of adoption horizon. And of course, that's not trend so much as that's been a vetted trend because of the word adoption. That's a recommendation. A zeitgeist, people are now using that word in terms of spirit of time as, interestingly, a trending one, the zeitgeist of this particular content. Social systems, I mentioned social networking is real social tools, and now that's even a higher umbrella look at social system. Grassroots video, which is that user-produced citizen journalism, but with video and media, so I'd call it grassroots media. Collaboration, we mentioned mobile broadband, which of course we're all experiencing in terms of what we now have. Green, obviously, major in terms of sustainability. Born digital, which I love as a constituent identifier. Those people are born digital, so we have totally different ways to look at what they do. A number of different sites talk about redefining librarians' jobs in three ways, and they try to really talk about what we need to do in terms of information professionals, and they list three things. We need to pick people who learn to learn, and we need to teach our own people learning how to learn, adapt to change, and scan the horizon. And those are the three things which I think are the most challenging, but certainly that sums up what we do in libraries today. And take a look at those. Learn to learn, adapt to change, and scan the horizon. The word technology is not mentioned in there anywhere. And we really do have to change our processes and our thoughts. I don't come here and say, so, everything with technology. What I come here and say is think about how you think. Think about how you learn, and think about how you look at the future. And that's, I think, the most successful way to go into the field. Whether or not you're starting this week, as our two people were from the library school, or whether or not you're starting in the first 5 years, or whether or not you thought you were retiring this year, and you've got three more. Thank you very much.